Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 550 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, joined once again this week by Chad Smart, who is going to be doing a deep dive on Money in the Bank, and not just looking at this year's card, but looking at the concept, the idea, which originated, can you believe this, Chad, 20 years ago at WrestleMania 21, I guess it was, that very first Money in the Bank, five competitors. See if I can remember them. It was Edge, Christian, Kane, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho. I think that was the five. No, Shelton Benjamin was in there. Maybe Christian wasn't in there. I should have looked this up. Anyway, it's come a long way. And we're going to talk about the kind of the development of the idea, the concept. Because I think, and let's just start off with this question. I think we both agree it is an overplayed concept, but something like Royal Rumble is something I still enjoy and look forward to, and it's one of the big two events every year that I have to watch live. I do not like watching the highlights or replays of it. Where are you on Money in the Bank in terms of a pay-per-view concept?
I think it's played out. I think 20 years is a long time for a gimmick, and there are very few gimmicks that can last. Undertaker being one of them, you know. I mean, would we have seen, can you name another gimmick that did not change? I mean, I guess he had the biker taker phase, but for all purposes.
No, but we're on camera and I'm going to do something here. Impromptu. This should have been a 20 year gimmick. I have my gobbledygooker.
I guess technically it is. I mean, he does come out of mothballs every so often, but the Royal Rumble, I think, is different than Money in the Bank just because of the match. How do I explain this and make it make sense? It's a one night thing. And then, you know, once the winner's there, you have, you know, the two and a half months to WrestleMania to pay off the victory. Money in the Bank can be 30 minutes later or 287 days later. And I think
that's the longest someone has held the case.
I think Carmella held it 287 days. If I remember the numbers I looked up right before this, but it just seems like, I think part of it is the booking of the Money in the Bank winner, especially now that they've added men's and women's. Mm-hmm. You know, when you had just the men's, it was one thing, but now that you're trying to book two people with cases, and are they going to cash in or they're not going to cash in? It just becomes a bit redundant. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, the two factors too would be the redundancy of, okay, I'm going to cash in. Okay, no, I'm not. And I'm going to go to, and it's like,
yeah,
piss or get off the pot, you know?
Yeah.
If you're sitting down to pee, then you have a whole other issue unless you're female. I screwed up the saying. That and now I lost what my other train of thought was going to be. Oh, the fact that the winner seems to go on a losing streak until they cash in. And right. It's just bad booking in my opinion.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I wanted to go with this, is kind of look at, and we're not going to go through 20 years of winners and all of that. And especially now that you have added, so we get two a year. To me, the original idea was to kind of create a superstar in the process of winning the briefcase. And then sometimes, though, I feel like they get too far ahead of themselves and they take someone that's kind of in obscurity. I'll use my Jack Swagger reference, Baron Corbin, even Austin Theory. You know, these guys all won the briefcase. And then they get injected into that main event picture. And help me remember, I think Austin Theory ended up cashing in on the U.S. champion, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so, and I know that the stiff is, you know, a championship match. I always liked the idea at one point, I don't remember who it was, but there was someone that had it. And I thought, man, this would be awesome if they cashed in and won the tag team titles. And then they got to pick a partner.
I was gonna say, you know, Otis won it in 2020, and he was in a tag team at the time, but then he lost the Money in the Bank briefcase to The Miz, I believe. He put it on the line and lost. And that, you know, that happened with Mr. Kennedy just because they thought he was going to be out injured. Although, again, if you can hold it for a year, unless you're going to be out for a year, there's no reason to, you know, to take the title, the briefcase off someone. So
yeah, and he actually recently just talked about that, and I think he was misdiagnosed at the time, and they got the case away from him quick. So it would be a totally different, because I do think Kennedy was one of those guys who was on the rise, and it made sense for him to win the briefcase. We were at a handful of those WrestleManias when they were doing the event still at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we saw Jack Swagger win.
Yeah, Swagger won it, RBD. And it's an interesting composition, too, of people they put in, and now they do the qualifiers, because I don't think in the early days you had qualifying matches for it either. And I feel like now they're kind of throwing it out there to where they put a dark horse in there on purpose. Because I think, and I'm not 100% sure, I haven't watched all the results from this past week's SmackDown, but I think Naomi end up qualifying for the women? She wrestled Jade and Nia Jax. So that was kind of a surprise for me. But
yeah. Well, Andrade winning was the surprise for me.
Did Andrade win?
Yeah. Because I didn't realize.
Who else was in that one?
No clue. Didn't watch it. Just saw that he was in there. And I was like, wow. They remembered he was on the payroll.
So I don't know. Like we said, it's kind of an overplayed concept. I think the original with Edge winning it and then the buildup, I feel like that really took Edge from that mid-level guy, because he had been in the company for almost 10 years at that point, multiple-time tag team champion with Christian, ended up winning the Intercontinental Championship a handful of times. He was one of those guys who was on the cusp and on that bubble. And then I think him winning it, but then he almost immediately, you know, I say almost immediately, he wins it at 2005. He cashes in early 06 at Elimination Chamber, or it was an event, I guess, that the Elimination Chamber match had happened.
New Year's Revolution.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was the New Year's event. But then, within that, before we get to even WrestleMania, he loses it back to Cena. So it was a quick thing with that. But then his feud going into with Mick Foley, I think it kept him in that main event picture. And I would say, in my memory, at least, if gun to my head, Edge is the most successful Money in the Bank winner. I guess you could probably maybe throw in and argue CM Punk as well.
Well, I think, you know, I would say because Edge was the first, his cash-in was more of a shocking event, whereas now you expect it, you know, you almost expect on every show for someone to cash in or attempt to cash in, and especially if it's a pay-per-view and the champion has been injured or laid out afterward, you expect something. And I think that's part of what has made the Money in the Bank so dull in the past couple of years. It's just like, okay, it's just lather, rinse, repeat booking.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that it goes to And maybe it is because they tend to put that winner then on a losing streak, and then it doesn't feel like they've built them up to be a championship caliber person. And I listen, the people that are going to watch this or listen to this and say it's all a work and yada yada, we know, we get it. But it's still, when I watch, I want to watch with a sense of realism. And I understand saying that about a company that puts a guy in a turkey costume and has him running around the ring, or summons lightning and fire and raises from the dead. I get it. We're all in on it. But again, you want that semblance of realism when you're watching it, and believability. And I know, you know, like Otis and Kennedy, and I'm trying to think, there have been a couple of folks who have won it and then lost the briefcase and not able to get back in there. So I'd kind of forgotten about Otis winning it at during, you know, the COVID event. But that was an interesting way. I don't know if you remember how that one finished, but AJ had the briefcase and it fumbled out of his hands and Otis just caught it. Yeah. So I don't ever remember there being a rule. I just thought you had to get the thing off of the thing. Was there a time limit on how long you actually hold on to it before you can lay claim to it, I guess. So it was
like the NFL, you got to get 2 feet down.
Yeah, it was an interesting time in wrestling, obviously, and with Otis winning it. But kind of going back to...
Well, you know, I mean, you know, that same year you had Asuka win and then just get the title, because I guess they felt it'd be unfair to put her in a handicap match, Asuka against Becky and her kid.
Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about that too, but and we talk about forgetting things. And before we started recording, I reminded you of the fact, because I was reminded of the fact that last year's winner was Drew McIntyre on the men's side, 2024 winner, if you're listening to this for some reason in 2030. and it ended up, he cashed in that night on Damian Priest, who had cashed in on him just a few months earlier at WrestleMania. CM Punk causes a distraction or something, and McIntyre does not win the championship. What are your thoughts on failed cash-ins? Because I think for so long, you know, from 2005 up until 2012, when John Cena was the first to unsuccessfully cash in, it almost became a foregone conclusion that whoever wins this briefcase is going to become the champion. And now we get these failed cash-ins. I like the idea of the failed cash-in, and that it's not always a foregone conclusion that a new champ is going to be created from this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, 2024, having Drew win, cash in immediately, lose, was kind of a way to get the Money in the Bank briefcase out of play for the year.
Yeah.
Because it didn't need to be there. You know, the Drew McIntyre didn't need the briefcase. The storyline with Damian and CM Punk didn't need it hanging over and overshadowing things. I mean, you know, you could have put it on someone else, but again, it's like, I think, you know, Tiffany Stratton having the title was probably more singular focus to build her up instead of someone else. So basically what I'm saying is I think we need intergender Money in the Bank matches instead of men and women. Just put them all in and let them play. But yeah, I think having the failed cash in, obviously, you know, we talk about the believability and the factor and everything. And so I think having someone lose the cash in brings back the sense of anything can happen. Because like you said, you know, if you have 10 winners in a row, all cash in and win, you kind of lose the suspense of, oh, are they going to be able to cash in? Or are they not? So I think having, and I don't remember Cena's cash in. I just read about it right before we started recording, and it was something about, I think The Miz got involved or somebody, or somehow it ended in a DQ. And so it wasn't like necessarily Cena losing as much as shenanigans.
He didn't win.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I really kind of, I wanted to have this conversation too, was we see, you know, in the past, and even with Jey Uso more recently, you know, we see these contenders go through, hell and back. You know, Jay had the failed attempt at Saturday night's main event, goes on to win the Royal Rumble. People doubt that he's going to win. His brother gets beaten up and bloodied by Gunther. And then eventually he has that comeuppance and wins. Chris Benoit, I know we're not supposed to say his name, but he wins the Royal Rumble. He had toiled for years and tried to become the champion and was always on that edge, no pun intended. Eddie Guerrero, you know, comes out of a life of addiction and the DUI and the setbacks that he had faced, and then he beats Brock Lesnar. He slays this giant dragon. All these guys did that without a briefcase in hand. They they did it, you know, either through the Rumble or through just years of hard work. Then you throw this briefcase at somebody, they cash in, and then when they win, you know, and sometimes it's 99% of the time, I'm just throwing out a number here, but the champion has already been in a match, they're incapacitated, and they take advantage of that, face or heel. You know, they come in and maybe whack them with the case, or they hit them with a chair, or the person who's already been laid out, they cash in, and they literally cover them, and there's no match. They win the belt, and then there's all this emotion, and I get the emotion of winning, but again, going back to that realism and wanting to be in the moment, to me, kind of takes away, because it's like, you took advantage of a situation, and I, again, I know this is all part of the show, but it feels less emotional. When we were at WrestleMania 30 and Daniel Bryan won, there were 70,000 people going, yes, 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 when he won. I don't think that would have had the same effect had he just run to the ring, hit Randy Orton with a briefcase, and covered. Am I crazy there?
Well, and this is where I wish my memory was better than it is with recent wrestling, because he did, you know, he was a Money in the Bank winner. He did cash in.
That was in 2011.
Was it?
Yeah, that was it. That was at, it was the December pay-per-view in 2011. You were actually in town, and we watched it at Chris Hagstrom's house.
Okay, sure. If you say so.
There's a picture of you and I wearing.
I know the shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember watching the show.
Yeah, but that was from that show.
What I was going to say, though, is I think it all depends on who the wrestler is that's cashing in. Because remember, I'm being at Raw the night after WrestleMania 29 when Ziggler cashed in.
Yes.
And that was one of the loudest pops that I've heard. I'm granted that whole show was just amazing for the way the fans. That was the first, to me, that was the first Raw after Mania that set the pace for the next 10 years until WWE decided to hijack it themselves and make it a thing. But everybody wanted Ziggler to cash in, you know, and I think because they'd been wanting Ziggler to be champion for so long. Compare that with Jack Swagger, who, you know, again, nothing against him, but at the time wasn't really built up to be a champion, you know, be championship material. Same way with Austin Theory, you know, and granted he cashed in on a lesser title, but I don't think fans really cared for Theory to be champion. So I think that, you know, goes back to the selection of the winner and if they have that fan connection already. And if it's somebody that the fans believe can be champion or should be champion.
And that goes to another question. And I was going to bring up Dolph's cash in too. That night I had a horrible migraine as we were watching, but I remember the excitement of when his music hit and he came out. And like you said, it was one of the loudest pops that we had ever been a part of. Do you think though, that mixing in, you know, like we've seen former champions involved in the match as well, Kane and Brock Lesnar immediately come to mind as being former champions who, and John Cena, obviously, that we talked about earlier, and they win the briefcase and then they cash in. Kane cashed in that same night that he won it against Rey Mysterio. And then we saw Brock Lesnar eventually cash in. And I don't even remember. I think he cashed in on Seth Rollins. But what are your thoughts on that? You know, should that be a device to build a new champion, a new main event contender? The right now in 2025, the roster is so bloated with top tier talent that I hate saying you don't need to make anyone, or you don't need, I don't think, the Money in the Bank briefcase to make anyone. I think there's enough homegrown and or self-made talent that's floating around both rosters, men and women. That I don't know that the concept needs to be kind of like Hell in a Cell. We don't need it every year. We don't need a pay-per-view for it. Maybe you throw it out there as an attraction on another pay-per-view event. But then also you throw in the marketing and how many kids do you see walking around with the little plastic briefcases and lunch boxes or whatever the case is with that, you know, it's a tangible, marketable item, but I don't necessarily think that should dictate either continuance of this concept.
Yeah. And here's my snarky response to that is that, you know, we've discussed the last couple of weeks, WWE seems to be all about the money aspect of the business, the promote, you know, the sponsorships, the moving shows to who's going to pay them the most, the Money in the Bank briefcase. Again, you know, it's become a marketable merchandise thing where either a lunchbox of it, or, you know, the wrestlers have customized briefcases that can then be sold and, you know, people will buy it because apparently the disposable income is off the charts in America. I was going to say, talking about former champions, it's, I was watching another YouTuber show the other day, and they were talking about, should the Money in the Bank only be for non-champion, you know, no former champion can be in the match. That's a way to build up. And I, you know, again, I think the match needs to go away, so I don't really care who's in it, but I think that would be a way to maybe make someone new. Because if they can, I mean, if you put like this year, you know, you're looking, let's see, I'm trying to think who all is in there already. You have Seth Rollins is in there. I think he's the only champion as of now.
Andrade was never world champion.
He was NXT champion.
Okay. Okay.
But Penta is new to the WWE, and Solo, I think Solo Sikoa is in there.
Oh, yeah.
Who to me, they've dropped the ball on in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking storyline, and right now you would say like, oh, well, kind of looks like Seth might be your fourth, you know, your odds on favorite because of the story that he has with this new faction. But it's like, if he wins the title, is it that going to mean anything if he wins and cashes in?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, to his credit, 10 years ago, he won and cashed in at WrestleMania. And that was the first time I think we saw somebody cash it in and create a triple threat match.
Yeah.
And be involved with it. So I did like that storytelling aspect of it as well. And I guess you could argue that that's another example of the case rubbing off and doing kind of making him that superstar. You know, all three members of the Shield ended up winning the heavyweight championship and two of
in
them
one night
because of the Kings. What's that?
I said in one night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Reigns was champ, Seth beat him, and then Ambrose cashed in.
Yeah. And so that's another example of, you know, I think Ambrose and Rollins, but and this is not a knock against Dean Ambrose. He's actually my favorite member of the Shield, but I also think in terms of WWE storytelling, he was probably the most or the least, and I know he's been gone for several years now, but probably the least, and I'm going to air quote successful, because of the one, you know, one championship run versus what Rollins and Reigns have obviously been able to do. I'd be curious to see if had he stayed in WWE, where he would have been positioned within the company, because I know he just kind of felt like that utility guy who went in there with Lesnar, went in there with Triple H, and did what he needed to do. But I don't know how much more he would have been able to do. And I think that him leaving and going to AEW was a smart choice. Yeah. And he's still kind of probably AEW's most celebrated champion. But anyway.
La Champion, Chris Jericho, the Ocho, the Nuevo.
Yeah, but I mean, Ambrose is held, or Moxley's held it four times, right?
A couple of those times are just because Fragile Phil was injured. But I was going to say, you know, it's funny now because now Ambrose has or Moxley has the title in a briefcase. So whoever beats him is going to get a case. Yeah, this whole storyline is that he put it in a briefcase and it hasn't been seen in 7 months.
Does AEW do a similar, because I know they TNA have, for a minute did something with the briefcases.
Feaster Fired, yeah. Which is a great concept. It's like, hey, fight for a chance to possibly lose your job. Awesome. AEW has done it with the casino match somewhere. You get a giant Sonic the Hedgehog ring and you can cash that in. But I don't know when the last time was that they did that. Hopefully they never comes back. And that's the other point with Money in the Bank is that I guess because it was so successful, all these other companies have stolen the idea or borrowed or, you know, put their own spin on it. And it's just like, so not only is it overplayed in WWE, but it's overplayed in the wrestling industry as a whole.
Yeah. Because
Christian just had a, he had something where he had like a contract that he could cash in at any time, and he cashed in at Revolution and lost. So
yeah, well, and Stride did the Stride Cup for a couple of years as well. It was the same concept where it was a tournament though, and then you won the Stride Cup, and then you could cash in and get a championship match.
I think it should be a new step where you win, and then you can take someone out of a championship match if they. You know, if let's say in Stride, if you would have got a title match against, I don't know who the champion was at the time when you were wrestling, but then Jay Spade could come along and say, no, Kevin Huntsberger doesn't deserve a title match because he's a mark and he's a broadcaster. He should sit his ass back down at the broadcasting ring. And then you get taken out of the match. I don't know. I'm ranting.
It's
been a long night. I got no sleep last night. So.
All right. Well, you know, going back to the focus of Money in the Bank, and you know, you and I actually, we weren't together, but we were at Money in the Bank 2017 in St. Louis. And I can remember writing the blog before this one, and I called it ABC, Anyone But Corbin, and Baron Corbin, lo and behold, wins the briefcase. And that was another failed cash in, and I don't even remember who we cashed in against, but and that was also the year of the controversial Carmella winning it with James Ellsworth climbing the ladder. Yeah. Did he climb the ladder and throw it to her, and that's how he wanted her?
No, I think he tried, but he never got it down. I think that's how I remember it is he didn't actually get it. Like Carmella actually got the briefcase herself, but because Ellsworth interfered, people were all complaining. And I could have seen it if for some reason, like none of the women were tall enough to reach the briefcase. Mm-hmm. And so like James had to go up there to win so that someone could win. Mm-hmm. But if Carmella actually got the briefcase down, then I never saw what the issue was because there were heels and, Lita interfered in the TLC match with the Hardys and no one complained.
And then they redid the women's match that year.
Didn't they? Because everybody complained and then Carmella won again. And it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome, The Miz has won it a couple of times and his cash-ins were interesting too, you know, beating Randy Orton that first time for it. Mm-hmm. And then actually, I think he beat Randy Orton both times that he cashed in his briefcase. 10 years apart, but The Miz is one of those guys that I like The Miz, but I also feel like he's kind of become almost like, and I've no disrespect to R-Truth, but almost like a parody of himself where, because, you know, with wrestling, it's like the circus or it's like a buffet, you know, you want many different things and not mm-hmm. everybody can win and be the champion and whatnot. So I think with The Miz, he's kind of fallen into that category these days where he's entertaining and, or at least I find him to be entertaining. And I think the belt or the briefcase gave him the rub for a minute there and he did mm-hmm. feel important, but I still think, even when we went to WrestleMania that year, that he was the champion, he felt lesser than of the even of the guest host that year, which was The Rock. So he was just kind of, and I think we've talked about that before, where we commented at the end. You
know, yeah, and that match was just to set up The Rock Cena match for Rock next year. Like, stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, I the original concept, the original plan was great, but just like everything, or just about everything else in life and in wrestling especially, we get beat over the head with it, and then it becomes almost too much of a good thing.
Yeah, well, I would compare it to the evil GM or authority figure, where, you know, when it started with Mr. McMahon, it was new, fresh, but after 10 years of the same storytelling, it just becomes old. It's like DQ finishes now in WWE. It's like, oh, same thing that they did last week, same thing they did last match. Same, you know, it's, you need, like you were saying, you need kind of a variety, but also, I don't know, the storytelling, it all comes down to the storytelling and the way the story is told. And Money in the Bank is just, it's very repetitive. As I've said, as I'm being repetitive in what I'm saying.
Well, and in case he's listening, I think Eric Bischoff would argue that he did the heel GM thing first in WCW when he joined the NWO, and then Vince McMahon copied him. If you listen to 83 Weeks, he reminds listeners of that ad nauseum. So just throwing that back out there.
Yeah, well, we'll see how he does. We'll see how he does with freestyle wrestling. He's the heel GM there.
But. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of like King of the Ring was hot and cold, you know, in the, in the 90s, it was a thing. And I don't feel like the King of the Ring necessarily led to the same kind of, I know last year they added the stip of the winner of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring would get the championship matches at SummerSlam. I don't think they're even doing King and Queen of the Ring in 2025, are they? Or at least it's not happened yet.
I don't think so. But are you going to downplay King Mabel?
That's true.
I mean yeah, I think really Owen Hart and Booker T are the only people to really elevate themselves with the King gimmick.
Yeah. But that's another example of that, because because with the King of the Ring, and I guess we're kind of side tangenting here, but you know, they become the king or the queen, and until 2024 there was not that stipulation. So when do they lose? You know, they no longer are, because none of them like repeated the tournament. You know, they weren't, you know, Owen Hart didn't wrestle again in 95 to maintain the King of Hearts. So they build into that gimmick for a year and then it kind of goes away and they're no longer the king. So, I mean, obviously I think you could argue that Austin, sorry, if this, the long guy is out there and it's probably coming through on the audio, I apologize for that. But, you know, I think Austin would be the most successful King of the Ring winner to parlay into that superstardom.
Yeah. I mean,
status, if you will.
I forgot about him winning King of the Ring because I was talking about people who kind of took
right.
The king
gimmick. He denounced the king, and that was kind of, you know, because Triple H did that, and Austin did it. So, you know, those guys win the tournament, and to me, that was the fun part of the King of the Ring was then seeing Owen Hart as the king or Booker T, like you mentioned. But like a lot of those guys that won it eventually,
I mean, Sheamus really is the only one that I can.
Yeah, Sheamus. And I think Regal might have done it for a second, but not, he didn't do it for very long either. So
Regal won the King of the Ring? Oh.
Yeah. Well, not the, I think it was in the, because Layla was his queen.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was after they were doing it on like a pay-per-view monthly, and it was when it kind of came back and, in the mid 2000s, I think. Well, we'll look it up. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm almost positive. Yeah, because I think his Twitter handle is still
King Regal.
Real King Regal or something. So it was in that era of Twitter being a thing too.
Speaking of Regal, you don't watch NXT, do you?
No. I mean, highlights, but that's about it.
Have you seen Charlie Dempsey?
No.
Oh. It's Regal's son.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but it looks like Regal and Jeremy Allen White had a love child.
Really?
Yeah. You can look him up after the show.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have to look him up. That's not the hearing impaired wrestler, is it? You know NXT has a hearing impaired.
I do not.
Yeah, so I don't remember what his name is, but he's I think he just wrestled for a championship at the last PLE. Or
okay. I'm an audience impaired viewer of NXT. I don't watch.
I gotcha. So again, original concept, we liked it, but and I guess that's
but the like other yeah, it's like Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
When it was called Point Break, it was great, but then it's just gone on way too long. And we don't
the other thing too, I guess, that I don't factor into this is I really am curious, like how many quote unquote lifelong fans are there? You know, the people that are watching today, were they watching in 2005 when Edge won? Because Money in the Bank could be a whole new concept. You know, look at us when we were watching, you know, Bruno Sammartino to us was the third man on Superstars doing commentary. Yeah. To another generation, he was, you know, the god of wrestling.
Yeah.
And, you know, today, Hulk Hogan was the man to us. And to this generation, he's the guy
he's out a there racist.
Flapping his beer. What's that?
Said he's a racist.
God, will you stop? I almost wore my Gorilla Monsoon shirt today. So, you know, that's the whole thing with wrestling too, you know, there's going to soon be a generation that John Cena was a guy with a bald spot who, kicked Cody Rhodes in the nuts.
Yeah, and ruined wrestling.
and ruined wrestling. So any final thoughts on Money in the Bank? I know it's literally down the road from you later this week. All right. You are not going, though.
I am not, unless something magically changes, and I don't know, maybe I get free tickets somehow. No, I am not going to that or Worlds Collide, which is across the street. Well, actually, it's about three blocks away from Money in the Bank. But no, I like I said, I will save my money for other shows that come along later in the summer. But I will watch at home. You know, I'll watch on Peacock, not a sponsor. But and I think, you know, I off the top of my head, I want to say five is the number of Money in the Bank matches that I've seen live.
Oh, wow.
So,
oh, yeah. Well, I forget about the WrestleMania ones.
WrestleMania ones, yeah. So it's not really a concept that I, you know, if it was Elimination Chamber, I would probably go because I haven't seen an Elimination Chamber match in person. But
you haven't? I thought you had.
Nope.
Well, before we wrap, that's the other part of the, you know, I talked last week or the week before last about those like high risk, high danger spots and things. And obviously with a ladder match, you know, you've got to throw some of that stuff in there too. And honestly, you know, seeing those guys climb or women climb the ladder and fall and potentially break an ankle, or when Chelsea Green went through all those tables last year or in 2024, it makes me nervous to watch those things. So Money in the Bank, we talked earlier, I'm going to be hanging out with the 1,000-pound sisters next weekend. So I will not be watching live, but I'll watch and get highlights. So feel free if you want to, you know, because I know we sometimes don't snap each other. Again, it's one of those shows that it's not my big two of WrestleMania and Royal Rumble. So I don't care if it gets spoiled for me. And maybe that's kind of crass sounding, but, you know, I'm good with seeing results.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I've discovered over the last, again, 2 months that if I wait and watch it after the fact, Peacock takes out all the promo videos. And so I don't have to sit through half a show of not wrestling. So
it's a good idea. That's a
hack faster way to watch it. Yeah.
That's a hack there. All right, Chad. Well, thank you for participating in this week's episode. We thank you for listening and or watching as well. And we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.